Hey, listener, before we get going today, a quick reminder. Tuesday night, October 10th, the Pelton Cast is hosting Seattle Sports Trivia at the Runaway Bar, part of the Numos Complex. Starts at 7 p.m., and we really hope you'll join us. Should be a lot of fun, so I hope to see you all there. Again, Tuesday night, October 10th, 7 p.m. at the Runaway. Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are thrilled to be joined today by a special guest who is the former assistant GM of the Seattle Supersonics, now the GM of the Charlotte Hornets. But we're not here to talk about basketball. Instead, we're focusing on his other role as the founder of BigTimeBites.com, a site that offers scouting reports of some of the world's best dishes. So please welcome to the Pelton Cast, a native of Federal Way, Washington, Rich Cho.
How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. So I thought we'd start right away. We're talking about BigTimeBites.com. And do you want to walk us through kind of how this came about?
Yeah, sure. You know, a long time ago, when I was really with the Seattle Supersonics, and even before that a little bit, when I was at Boeing Airplane Company as an engineer, I started traveling more for my job, and I'd ask friends and coworkers and family for food recommendations in different cities. And so I'd write them down in a notebook. And when I went to those cities, I'd make it a point to try those recommendations. And I'd also venture out and try places either that I found through my own research or speaking to the hotel concierge or really just by talking to a local stranger or just people in the hotel. Yeah. And then, I'd write those things down in a notebook, and eventually, friends and family and coworkers started asking me for recommendations and either for their own use or on behalf of others. I kind of eat everything. So I had a long list, everything from fine dining to hole in the walls. And I had all these lists and places that I've been to. So one day I thought, hey, you know what? I should try to put this in some sort of a blog. First I started with Instagram and got a taste that way and got a lot of positive feedback. So I thought, you know what, I should really put this in some sort of database website. So I decided to start Big Time Bites. So that's kind of how it started.
Were you much of a user? You didn't mention in there, kind of food apps. Did you use those to find restaurants, or was it really much more word of mouth?
You know, a lot of it was word of mouth, I feel like that's a really good way to find things. A word of mouth and also kind of a combination, really. I'd look on the internet and different places like that, different magazines. A lot of it was talking to people. And then really when you go to different cities, I like talking to local people because those are the people that really know in the city. So that's kind of how I got different recommendations and then just kind of started, compiling things from there.
Interesting. So if you're somebody who, like, let's say if I'm traveling, I feel like I almost always hit up Yelp and try to find kind of the best restaurant in the area. What differentiates what you're doing with Big Time Bites from something like Yelp?
Yeah, well, when I started the site, and there's a million food blogs out there. When I started the site, I felt like if I wanted to start it, I wanted to do something different than a lot of these other sites. So there's a number of things that differentiate it. One, there's a sports theme throughout the site. So for example, all my reviews are called scouting reports. And as a visitor to the site, you can file your own visitor scouting report and put it on the site. So there's a rating system to rate the dishes. And it's got a sports theme too. So there's five ratings: rotation, starter, all-star, franchise, and Hall of Fame. And there's a rubric for each rating. So when you put in a report, everyone's working off the same rubric. And similar to like a like on Instagram, where you can click on the heart to like a picture, you can do this as well, but we call it a fist bump. So that's kind of a sports angle too. But a couple of the other things that distinguish it from a place like Yelp is our site's dish based instead of restaurant based.
Yeah.
So if you go to Yelp, then you're basically looking at restaurants, and Big Time Bites is dish-based. And so the reason for this is that I feel like most people, when they're looking to eat something, they're looking for a specific type of dish, like a burger, a good pizza, a lobster roll, some sushi. So that's kind of why we do it dish-based. And then probably one of the biggest things that where there's a difference is on Big Time Bites, it's just positive reviews. So even the lowest rating, which is a rotation dish on Big Time Bites, it's still a very good dish. And the reason I wanted to focus on positive reviews is that way, as a visitor to the site, you don't have to sift through all the negativity that you might find on other sites.
Yes.
Everything on Big Time Bites is hence the name Big Time Bites. Everything on there is a positive review.
I like that so much, because I would say that one of my big frustrations with Yelp, two things. Number one, it seems like the ratings are really heavily influenced by service at the restaurants, and I don't care. I'm just going for the food. I want the best food possible. I don't care about the service. And then the other aspect of it is I've always believed, I've maintained this, that a restaurant is only as good or as bad as the best thing on the menu. So I don't need to rate the whole restaurant. I love that you're rating just the specific dish instead.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of the feedback that we've been getting from users to the sites, so yeah, I kind of like this model, and hopefully it'll gain a lot of traction, and it's a great way, I think, for people to share their love for food and also find different types of food and dishes when you're on the road.
All right, well, let's back up a step. Where did this love for food come from? Growing up in, the Seattle South End suburbs, is the child of Burmese immigrants. How did you develop such a diverse palate and such a love for food?
Oh, well, I got three brothers and a sister, so we try to find different things just we all love food. So, and my brother, one of my brothers was a chef in the army, so he used to cook a lot, and my folks used to cook a fair amount. So, I really didn't expand my palate fully until I started traveling a lot around the country and also the different places around the world. And then I got a better feel for different cultures and appreciated the different foods in different cities and countries.
So I'm looking at the website right now, and the dishes that you have on the front page, all of them look unbelievable. And it seems like right now, do you feel like you're more on like a fish bent, or is there a taste that you're more interested in this moment?
I love it all. I mean, I love fish. I love red meat. I love Asian food. I love sushi. I love burgers. I love hole in the walls. And there's really not a certain type of food or ethnicity that I don't like. I like
it
all. Really,
food is great.
It kind of makes it nice, because I'm not limiting myself when I go to different cities.
And one thing that, Rich, you're known to do when you're on the road, I've noticed this when we're in Portland at the Nike Hoop Summit, multiple different dinners within the same evening, so that you're getting multiple different types of cuisine. How do you eat as much as you do and stay as trim as you are?
Yeah, luckily my folks gave me some good metabolism genes. So, I'll go to a dinner and then you know, have follow that up with another dinner right after at another place. That way you can try multiple places and kill two birds with one stone. So that's not that uncommon for me to do, as a lot of my friends know. So it's a great way to try different dishes.
That's amazing.
I'm envious.
Recently this week, you were on the House of Carbs podcast with Joe House.
That's not what that name of the podcast is. Sorry. It's the House of Carbs.
Yes. So listening to that podcast, he has so many different people on from different regions. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, okay, weekend trip to Charleston, just eating. This is my plan. Or I'm like, okay, I'm going to Houston for 1 week. Nobody's coming with me. All I'm doing is going to restaurants. But is there a place that – a city that you have in particular traveling a lot that you think has the best cuisine at the moment?
If you go onto our site, we have 23 scouting reports from Charleston, and some of my favorite restaurants there are Fig, Chez Nous. There's a great lobster roll place called 167 Raw, and I would say that's one of the best food cities in the world. There's so many great chefs there and so many great restaurants.
Man. All right, so you got to plan that trip. How would you say that Seattle and then maybe also Portland in the Northwest is a couple of cities you've lived in? How do they stack up as food cities?
I think they're great food cities. First of all, both cities have a lot of ethnic diversity, so there's a lot of different types of restaurants there. And you'll find fine dining, the hole in the walls, and different ethnicities there. Some of my favorite places in Seattle are The Crow, which is a great restaurant not too far from downtown. And it's got kind of Northwest contemporary food. And then there's an Asian place there, Asian fusion place called Wild Ginger. Which has been there for a long, long time. But that's also one of my favorite places there. And Portland is a great food town as well. I think it's one of those underrated food towns, but a lot of people are catching on. And we've got 33 scouting reports from Portland, and you name it all out there. You've got Michelin star restaurants, and then you've got some hole in the walls and great dishes all the way around there.
Have you been able to notice when you travel back to the Northwest, kind of the food scene in these two cities changing over time from, you know, what it was like, you know, the almost a decade ago now since you've been in Seattle, and then a slightly shorter period of time, but it's still a few years now since you were in Portland?
Yeah. And you're right. Everything's always changing. And that's why when I go back to these cities, I'm always looking for something new. One of the challenges is I've also got my favorites in each city. So, I like to make sure I go to my favorites because I know I'm going to get a big time bite there. But then I also want to try new places. So that's where it helps to be able to eat two dinners or two lunches in one city.
I think one of the interesting things about Seattle in particular, I mean, I don't think I've been to as many cities as much to notice this as much, but how there's almost been like the restaurants have spread into the suburbs, where I feel like when we were kids growing up in the 80s, it was like there were chains in the suburbs. And now that you have these different ethnic communities that pop up, it's like all of a sudden you have a really nice Mexican steakhouse in Kent in Seattle, or you have some of the best Indian food in Seattle in Renton. Right? Or you have these excellent tacos in Boulevard Park. Have you noticed that in any other cities, or do you feel like it's still really city focused?
No, I think, you're right. I think you can find good food anywhere. It's just a matter of finding it. And for example, we were just in Detroit to play the Pistons, and I found a little Chinese joint about 15 minutes away from the hotel in the suburbs, and just sat doing some research. Actually, I found it, just walked to a coffee shop, and then I was asking somebody local where a good Asian place around there was, and they told me about this authentic place in Farmington Hills. It's called Hong Hua, and so next thing I know, I'm on an Uber the next day, went and had a great lunch there.
All right, so something specific over the summer, we did our search for Seattle's best burger that came out with Unita in Fremont is the unexpected, I would say, victor of that competition. Do you have a favorite burger in Seattle?
You know, I don't have a favorite burger in Seattle. Back in the day when I was living there, I couldn't really find a great burger there. And, you know, that was when I was living there was, I think we left there in 2008. That, you know, gourmet burgers weren't really the thing back in the day then. And since then, I feel like more and more chefs are making gourmet burgers. You know, back then it was mostly, you know, Dick's Drive-In and Red Mill. Red Mill's got a good burger, but didn't really have a go-to burger there.
Still quality ones, yeah, but neither of those came out on top.
Right.
So you've been around a lot of NBA players. Are there any players that you've been with who've kind of shared your interest in food in the same way?
Player-wise?
Yeah.
Let's see. You know who loves to eat is Jeremy Lin. We had a few meals together, and he's got a pretty big appetite. I think I could still out-eat him, though. But he's got a pretty he's pretty adventurous. You know, he likes sushi. He loves Asian food. He likes American food. Yeah, he's got a pretty wide palate. You know, a lot of the guys, I feel like they stay close to home a little bit. They've got their favorite steak joints and Cheesecake Factory and things like that. So, but I try to get some of the guys to venture out a little bit when I can, but sometimes it's a challenge.
Do you think that maybe it's a little bit more common now with front office types, or has it not picked up as much?
No, I think some of the front office guys, you'll find a lot of front office guys, or more so than players, like to go out and try different things. You know, guys like, I know you know some of these guys because Northwest guys, Steve Rosenberry with the Blazers, Bill Branch with the Blazers, they love to eat. And Matt McKay, who's on my staff, loves to eat. And so I try, you know, those guys are great guys to go out to eat with because they like to try a lot of different things. And Rick Sun, who I know you know as well, one of my mentors and very close friend, he loves to eat a lot of different things too. So I think front offices are a little more, they have a little more expanding palate than a lot of the players.
Yeah, and probably your influence there a little bit as well. The mention of out-eating Jeremy Lin reminded me of this that was on the Big Time Bites Instagram a few months, or actually all the way back to last December now. The 40-20 Club in Asheville, North Carolina, eat 5 8-ounce hamburgers in 20 minutes or less that you successfully took that down. Is that your most impressive, like, competitive eating feat?
You know, that's my only competitive eating thing that I've done. I'd actually like to try more just to, you know, on that particular one, I wasn't really planning on doing it. I just happened to go into the restaurant there, and then they had that challenge, and you get your picture on the wall, a nice little framed picture. I thought, you know what, let me try this. So I did it. But I'd like to try more of those things, you know, whether it's tacos, or I love tacos, or hot dogs, or whatever. Always up for a food challenge.
All right, well, the last important question I had here is, I know cow soy is one of your favorite types of food, and with the help of our loyal listener Jimmy, I was able to find some good cow soy here in Seattle. But is there Burmese food in Seattle? Because I've been dying to have more Burmese food after going to Burma Superstar in the Bay Area. Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast introduced me to that. I know And I knew it was going to be good because I heard that you approved of it. So I know as much as you love Burmese being your native cuisine, do you know of any here? And maybe can you describe to people who aren't familiar with it what Burmese cuisine is like?
Yeah, I don't know of any Burmese joints in Seattle, but if you find one, definitely let me know. Burmese food is a cross between, the best way I can describe it is, it's a cross between Thai, Chinese, and Indian food. And Burma Superstar down in San Francisco is a very well-known it does very well down there. Very well-known restaurant down there. There's three Burma Superstars, one in San Francisco proper, one in Alameda, and one in Oakland. Then he's got another place called Burma Love, which has a lot of the same stuff on the menu, along with a few additional items. And then he's got a fusion place called B Star, and then an American breakfast place called Eats. So the owner there is actually a friend of mine, and he does very well. They just did a recipe book too that's selling very well. So there's a couple great other Burmese restaurants in the country. One of them is like a hole in the wall down in the LA area, and it's so good that the lady cooks for me. It's out of her house on weekends. She's only open Saturdays and Sundays from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it's so good that she freezes the food for me, cooks it, freezes it, then FedExes it to me in Charlotte. And it's fantastic.
And it's still good.
And if you go down to L.A., definitely let me know and I'll let you know where it is. But it's a hole in the wall that, like I said, it's at her place or at her house, and you'll literally feel like you're in Southeast Asia. And I've actually had a lot of meetings there. I had a meeting with a few agents there. I took Rick Sun there. I took Bill Branch from the Blazers there. I've taken, like I said, several agents and GMs there. And then I've even conducted some law school intern interviews there. So that's one of my go-to spots in LA.
Yeah, I'm hoping the scheduling works out at some point to go there with Kevin Arnovitz, who is also a noted NBA food lover.
Kevin's actually been there. He loves that place. I turned him onto it, actually.
Yep. Yeah, he's passed it along.
Okay.
All right, so to wrap this up, I've got a challenge for the listener. Each week, Big Time Bites chooses a scouting report of the week, and the winner gets a Big Time Bites hat or t-shirt. I'm putting on my Kevin Damas hat and predicting this week's winner will be the listener. So prove me right. I'm going to put my scouting reports. I've got some already planned.
It's going to be you.
I think I may be ineligible for that, but I'm hoping the listener can win that competition and that we see everybody's scouting reports on there, because the more scouting reports you get there, the better it is for everybody to know what great food is out there.
How was that scouting report of the week chosen, Rich?
You know, it's chosen. There's a number of criteria. One is you have to have a nice picture. Two, really, you got to describe why it's a Big Time Bite. So, the scouting report doesn't have to be, you know, a thesis. It doesn't have to be super long, but the reports are chosen based on overall quality, including the picture, description of what makes the dish big time, and just kind of an overall look and feel and description for the dish.
Well, like I said, it's a great site, and I look forward to seeing it continue to grow as more people find out about Big Time Bites. On that note, Rich, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. And you know, the website's bigtimebites.com, and the Instagram and Twitter and Facebook are @BigTimeBites.
All right, definitely check it out, and thanks for listening.